Let me just talk a few things about our RC documents. So, as you may know, I think we have passed our M4 milestone, and we need to get the RC documents ready. I have, I think, worked a little with Kevin offline, and he sent me on. The Word document I've translated into the RC document here. And Kevin also sent the RC document to you, but I have no feedback now. If you may check, you can use this this website for the online editing of the RC document. You can input the code on the left side and show the result on the right side. So here's the initial translate results from my side. Seeing the content should be identical to the Word document. You may check afterwards. And also, we need to put the diagrams there. They're on my computer, but I'm not showing here. And I heard that in last modeling subcommittee call, there's a request for me to create a tutorial how to translate the Word document to RC document. I heard it too late, so I haven't do that. But I'm plan to create a page maybe under our modeling discussion this week and share it to you. Basically, I'm using a tool provided by Python called RCDoc. And you can also use a tool named Pandoc here to translate Word document to RC document. And the problem of these two tools are they have some problem when you're translating the tables. So basically need to do some manual tweaks to let the tables to format normally. I'm not showing it here, but there's some paragraph issues there. When you do it yourself, you may notice that. Besides that, I think most formats are correctly changed. And we just need to decide whether we would like to keep that format or we want to improve that. Okay, so basically that's the status. I plan to submit a new commit to have the initial RC document there, and we can do some updates afterwards. So any questions?
I will send you an updated GenDoc Word file, perhaps a little later today. You may recall, Shu, we talked about the items that were tagged as faulty to change those to experimental, and so we got a couple minor things like that. I also updated the diagram. The diagram would be updated automatically as part of updating some of those profile stereotypes. So if that's all right.
Sure, I will check. I think I will need to use the Word to compare the differences and then update the RC document manually, but it's okay.
Okay, yeah. Also, there will be a couple things perhaps in that file. And again, we can maybe do it via email. There may be a couple classes that there we have not settled on it yet, and I think there's just no stereotype on them, and some allotted resource work and such that we can either just remove from the file because it's not an R3 deliverable, or people can just understand that it hasn't been discussed or accepted yet.
So I have a question related to that. This is R3 documentation.
Yes.
So did we ever agree and approve on what was going into R3?
I think we have agreed on to include WinFD, WinF instance, and also NSV into the release 3 document.
I never saw any discussion or vote or?
I think we have discussed in previous calls, but I mean, need to check minutes.
Don't you usually like have a vote to make sure people agree that for people who may not have made that one call that everybody agrees this is R3? I have no recollection of approving anything for R3.
Well, typically we do not do vote, but I guess our modeling subcommittee will do the official review for the documentation afterwards.
So if you miss the meeting, you're too bad, you just don't have a say.
Well, people can already always raise their concern, right?
I don't even know what was on the final candidate list for R3 because we discussed so many different things. I must be the only one who's like not plugged into this.
I think, Jesse, I resonate with what you're saying in that it might be useful to, you know, have some clear documentation of this is what's going into R3. And from what I recall, it includes some VNFD updates. It includes some, I think Alex used to use the term deprecation. We were deprecating a handful of attributes and classes. And then it includes some update to VNF instance and VNFC instance, and to clearly document that, to socialize it, I assume, on the Tuesday modeling call, and in some form of acceptance. I think that makes sense.
Yeah, as I said, I don't even know what's on the final candidate list.
Plus two, maybe we can make that, if you're okay with that, maybe we can make that an agenda item for tomorrow.
All right, maybe I can find the minutes and announce it tomorrow.
It really would be nice if we had a review and approval process, because it's kind of really a big black hole to me.
Tied to that, maybe let me make this a question regarding what I just said. And I think it's specifically some allotted resource work that we're, I think, ready to talk about, but we're not going to try to put it in R3 at this late stage. So it's an R4 discussion. Do we want to pull that out of the GenDoc and therefore the RST documents, or do we want to leave it in, you know, given the stereotype does not, you know, there's no stereotype associated with it.
So our agreement when we agreed to this process that was that the clean page would have all the models that were reviewed and accepted and approved before we generated any document. So is that the case? Our clean page has everything that's, I just need to go look at that?
Well, I'd probably
first
have
of all, hold on one second. How many clean pages are there? I mean, aren't there other teams also looking at R3 content? I don't know, like, for example, data modeling, and where is that, right? And where is there any single view for any of the work that's going on? Not just this group, right?
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I just wanted to constrain it to this particular meeting. But you're probably right, exactly.
So maybe this is a bigger question, and maybe we can have that in the next, discuss the next topic with other representatives from the other groups who are working on it. But let's see if we can continue making progress on the topics at hand while we're here. Because obviously it's a bigger discussion, and you flagged that. Thank you.
I'll, if it's all right, let me at least answer Jesse's point. There's probably two things that's going on. One is the clean page that she was going to needs to be updated with what I just talked about which was discussed on a previous meeting. The thing that I had tagged as faulty, we need to change to tagging as experimental. So that's one point. The second point is regarding the generation of the GenDoc and the RST documents. My view is Shu was going through, call it a bit of a learning process to make sure that we know how to generate those. But we were not generating any final documentation yet.
No, I'm just looking at this clean, what you're showing. A network service, I've commented multiple times and it never got changed.
What is it you commented on multiple times?
Network service.
Where is network service on? Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
So well, this is wrong. The model's incorrect. I've pointed it out many times. I redid the model myself. Somebody else took it over. This is wrong.
Well, we haven't generated RST documents for the network service yet.
No, all I'm saying, Shu, is that we were supposed to have a clean version on the wiki before we generated any documentation. And we don't have a clean version.
Okay, I will ask them to update the wiki page with the latest papyrus files.
Thank you.
And basically, I think what I and Kevin have been doing is based on this page. So the document for the VNF and VNF instance.
As well as the deprecated attributes that I think we decided to, you know, call something else, but you know that Alex had kind of drove.
Yeah, so basically I think no major changes has been done to this model after we review that.
The only change is the one I just said, the items that were tagged as red and faulty, we agreed to tag as experimental.
So we were supposed to do the alignment with the Etsy, which we had done a discussion page on and what needed to be done to align it with the latest version of Etsy, so that never got done.
Well, I don't think we have time to get all those changes done in 4R3. We may need to do that for the next release.
And Jesse, I hope you can work with us on that.
Sure. Well, no, I did the study. I pointed out all the changes and I never knew what happened to that, whether we were doing it or not.
Yeah, I think it makes sense to make that part of R4 and I hope that's something that we can do. That would be good.
And then we need to remove WAN connection from there.
Yeah, I will do that.
Thank you, Shu. That's all. I won't say anything more.
Okay. So
I think I heard two action items there, and a couple, more than a couple, but one is certainly WAN connection and also network service is something that perhaps hasn't been settled either. So, yeah.
Well, I think, Kevin, you also need to update this page to reflect the latest changes. And yeah. I will ask maybe Tree to update this wiki page for the network service. And I will move this to backlog. Out of clean.
Yeah, I'll commit to update the page you're now showing hopefully today.
All right. So okay. Are there any questions, comments? Well, if no, are there any topics we are interested in?
A couple of things that I'm hoping to start sharing in R4, so not an R3 discussion, would be the work on allotted resource that I was just referring to. Chesla and I and Gil Bullard and others have done work on that. A second thing, as you know, is all the VES work. And I hope to start sharing that as part of release four. We also have an ASAMI issue with the VES work that I think will be an agenda item on tomorrow's call that we need to talk about. I think we agreed to review the VES work in this forum. So part of why I'm sharing it here.
So would you like to do it today or?
No, the intent here was maybe just sharing a little bit of what's coming. The VES work is large enough. I may share that in portions, but not quite ready yet.
Sure, I think another resource and VES model would be absolutely R4 topics. And we also have the PM and FM dictionaries model discussion related to the VES model.
Yes.
I hope we can address them together.
Yeah.
And I think we also have the PNF model and the alignment with that C specification just mentioned by Jesse. I think those are all needed talks.
Yeah. And I think on the PNF model, Chesla, I would assume we'll have some insights from AT&T that we want to share on that topic.
Yeah, it's funny. I've been talking. I'm like, shoot, I can't breathe through. I was on mute, of course. Yeah, with respect to the PNF and the VNF and VES in particular, although it's effective in other places too, I think we really want to start working the internal model so that we're talking about the common things, right? So there's network functions. And then the network functions can be physical or virtual or even allotted. So it all kind of, you know, if we can target Dublin to be a place where the stuff starts to be coming together and working its way into the architecture. And I think the only way that we can really effectively do that is if we have better ties to the architecture subcommittee. So that, the PTLs are having an opportunity to have, maybe a weekly overview of what the modeling team has been doing and to provide inputs into and make, small architectural changes to start moving in the directions that we think we're moving in.
And you're Chesla, you're touching on one of my soapboxes, so I can't help but mention it. Part of what Chesla suggests is and of course I don't think Etsy touches on this at all, but that is starting to root some of the classes. So if we have a VNFs and PNFs, and not only that, but we have services and resources, and there may be a handful of attributes that we want to root that all of those previously mentioned classes inherit, as opposed to everything is standalone. And we have a VNF identifier and a PNF identifier and a service identifier, as opposed to some just identifier they all inherit from an upper level, abstract class.
And if you think of fault metrics and performance metrics and things like that, that they're generally interested in, the network function and the networks, not whether, the specifics of is it a PNF, is it a VNF. Certainly those things need to be represented because they are different things, but there's a lot of commonality that you fork too early in your modeling if you go straight to VNF and straight to PNF.
Right. And of course, Shu, part of the challenge here is this is going to suggest that we deviate from Etsy, which I know some people are very hesitant to do, but we can also use that as a basis to share, try to update Etsy as well. I don't think we just want to follow.
Okay, so may I ask, do we have, sorry, Dan, do you have any plan to share any of the above topics next week?
I think we can, Chesla, I think we're ready or will be ready to share a allotted resource by next week.
Yep.
Probably could give you all an overview of the VES work just for socialization. Not quite ready, you know, not ready for to start reviewing, but just for awareness. Could probably do that next week as well.
Okay, sure.
And if I could find it, I could probably share a slide even today on some of the sort of, you know, network function commonality thinking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this means we're going to need to start like an R4 input page.
Yes.
We have a place to start capturing these ideas and discussing them and making sure they don't get confused with what we're settled on for R3.
Would be an example of a root object. Could you?
Yeah, let me just share something real quick here. If I'm able to figure out how to share. There it is. Okay, so what we have here is, you know, Tosca node root, right, which has very small amount of properties and attributes, but it is the root of many other Tosca node types. So this is very data modely, which, you know, we're not, you guys are doing information modeling on resources here. This is very data modely, but the same sort of thing can be applied at the info model level, which says, you know, I can have a resource node from which network functions derive. And you can see here at a data model level, I'm really trying to show that I don't have a VNF or a PNF shown here at all. What I have is, you know, that this PNF node's network function might depend on a PNF device, which is the physical hardware. And if this dependency exists, then this is a physical network function. If instead it has a dependency on a providing a service. Okay. Am I missing a link here? Oh, this is just the inheritance hierarchy. Sorry. It looks like I'm missing a line, but there should be a line from this network function here to a service that is also dependency. If it depends on a service to provide it, then it's an allotted network function. And if it has neither of those dependencies, then it's a virtual network function. But nowhere did we say it really is an object of type VNF or PNF, because if we leave things at this level and express what makes them different through their relationships to other things that kind of capture their specialness, then you could write a service. For example, something that, let's say you want to deploy a service that requires firewalls or routers or something like that. You could have a router network function that derives from, so the network function would be the root of it, and the router would then be a derived class. And your service could be written to say, I need a firewall with these certain capabilities, I need a router with these certain capabilities. And the orchestrator would be able to go into the catalog, find routers that have those capabilities. Some might be physical, some might be allotted, some might be virtual. If you just take the physical and virtual aspect, you could see a service provider or an operator has a network full of physical hardware that they want to load up the capacity until they run out of capacity and then start spinning up VNFs. Well, they could write one service model that would allow them to apply it, and you could have policy or orchestration rules or something that would let you do that without having to write separate services for PNFs and separate services for VNFs. So that's one of the beauties of it, but the whole hierarchy thing, the whole rooting here says I can start, you know, there's some common attributes here, then all of these things are derived from root. So resources derived from root, services derived from root, network functions derived from resource. So if there's commonality about resource, like it can be in a resource catalog or something, then you've got that expressed through this derivation. I'm probably babbling at this point, but.
And of course, some of those classes, if we put this in an information model context, some of them are abstract, meaning you would create an instance of just resource, what you would create an instance of, whether it's on the design side or the runtime side, would be things further down the stack, but they inherit the attributes and behaviors from the those abstract classes above.
So for the PNF, does that mean basically that we would separate out the parts or the aspects of a PNF that are interesting to the orchestrator? Then that goes into network function, and the aspects that are more, that are only interesting from the aspect of managing the actual device, the hardware, let's say. Is that the separation that we're doing, sort of what's relevant for the orchestrator and what's not?
That's a way to tackle it for sure. The other thing is taking them on, you know, what the things really are. Like, for example, this PNF device, the types of things you have to do to care and feed for that, which does feed into your comment, are you have to install it and wire it into a data center, right? So it has certain aspects to it, like a location, that wouldn't necessarily apply to the software, which gets its location by virtue of the fact that it runs on that hardware, right? In the same way that the virtual network function representation runs on some, you know, compute in a data center, but that actually could get moved around, whereas this guy is tied to this device. So yes, there's certain aspects that the orchestrator would take care of. There's certain aspects which performance management, fault management and stuff would monitor, et cetera, having to do with the network function. But there's, like you said, there's also things that by virtue of it being physical, like there might be heat, you know, and stuff like that, that you're carrying heat for at the PNF device level. That's also the kind of thing that the cloud provider would have to take care of in a data center, but which is not something that the software has to care about. It has a dependency on it. If this fails, so does this, right?
Mm, okay, so the PNF device is sort of more on the infrastructure side in that case.
Say again?
So whatever would belong in the PNF device is more related to the infrastructure itself?
Correct.
Okay.
And what's nice about this, the service provider actually doesn't care. Even the service designer doesn't necessarily need to know all the detail here about is it an allotted network function? Is it a physical network function? Because that's in the resource model for that network function. As long as they express the capabilities that they need, and that's in their catalog as being tested for having those capabilities, then the service designer ought to be able to, you know, get that picked or write policy that says, load up my PNFs first before you start spinning up new VNFs, because that way I, you know, save as much cost as I can.
So this abstract idea would apply to both runtime model and design time model, right?
Yeah, I like to think, yes, and I like to make the point to folks, you know, there's info modeling and data modeling, right, which are, you know, sort of two kind of levels of modeling. Design time and runtime are two domains, right? So you can have the information model of design time, the information model of runtime. You can have the data model of design time and the data model of runtime, right?
Correct.
And we need to also recognize for both of those, and we'll speak information modeling at the moment. If we have a design time model, we have a runtime model, then that suggests at the information model level, not everything that's design time has to be stuffed into the runtime. You can reference it. and that's part of the point of those
that's true. Mm-hmm.
That were tagged as faulty. So yeah, we need to think across the two of them and the interrelationships and mm-hmm. that can be used.
Well, maybe Sin is not here, but I think the previous discussion is, I think his concern is if you reference that model then maybe it cannot be guaranteed that the runtime information would contain all the data, let's say, defined by SC. So,
and that's an excellent point, Shu, and part of what that speaks to is in the information model, you probably wouldn't represent it, but at the data model level, maybe you choose to because for efficiency reasons and such, you want to have that information at your fingertips.
Right. So, for example, I mean, if you're familiar with databases, you know, there's the concept of joining two tables, right? So you could, in your data and in your, you know, MySQL database or whatever you want to store it, you could have your, let's just take some fields like the descriptor ID, the vendor name, the product name, things like that. You could have that all in one table and have a key because that's static data basically. And that entry in the table has a key number one. And then you might have 15 instances of it, but that instance could have what is my vendor provided details? Well, I see that it's key number one. There's a direct lookup into another table. That's called normalizing your data so that you've got the data represented in one place. Sometimes if you need to for performance reasons, you might choose to copy that data that you've got in that table of vendor provided details into every single instance, which is called denormalizing. When you do that, you run the risk of the data getting out of sync. Okay. But maybe in order to make that a query perform very quickly, you might have to do that. But, you know, generally speaking, database technologies these days are pretty good with joins. So, you know, all you would have to do there is say, you know, find me, product name, you know, Ericsson. Find me all instances that have a product name of Ericsson. And then it would be able to go in and say, okay, well, I've found this in this table. The key is one. Let me find all instances of that asset with a key of one. I found them all. So the info model and the data model don't have to be the same thing. They rarely are. But they're
no,
you know, they have
can't,
to be
I can't
guided by it.
A single case where they are.
Yeah, exactly.
Cesela, a question about because I lost a piece because I lost the connection. Sorry. Here you said the network function when so there is a relation with the PNF device and services is allotted, and if it is not, it is a virtual, right?
Did you say that just that last piece again?
Yeah, sorry. You said the network function has a relation with the PNF device or with the service if it is allotted. Or if it doesn't have neither a relation with the PNF device and service, it means it's a virtual, right?
Providing service, correct. So Kevin will be talking about this more, but if folks aren't familiar, you know, an allotted anything, basically, what makes it allotted is you have to, in essence, get what you're getting from a service that provides it. So that's what makes it allotted. So, you know, you might have a service that consumes it. So that network function would certainly have a relationship to the service consuming it. But it would also need that relationship to the service that is providing it.
Yeah, and so, I mean, PNF, VNF will be distinguished only because the PNF will have a relation with the PNF. So in reality, my question was more about the life cycle of the network functions. So, because in this type of view, I feel that there is the idea that they have the same life cycle operations, a PNF, a VNF, or an allotted server. So I don't know, I mean, let's think if it is applicable also to this. Have you thought to the allotted?
Yeah,
to the
I've actually been trying to, you know, I kind of came on board late with respect to the PNF discussions. But some of the things that are there where these things are kind of all in one object, I believe it would have been possible to split some things up. Because what you're basically saying in some of your plug and play architecture is this thing has to be installed and wired up in the network, the PNF device, and come to a point where it's ready. In the meantime, you're allowing people to order service using that PNF, right? Which is really saying this software. So the order would basically come in and say, well, let me create a network function and then let my flow pause there until this device actually registers and says it's ready, right? And that's actually behavior that the VNF flow doesn't have, because it doesn't have to wait for this thing to be up and ready. Does that help?
So how does the VNF, what's the VNF relationship to this? It just has a network function then, or does it also have?
Yeah, it just has a network function. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, say that again, Ben, because did you say PNF or VNF?
VNF.
Yeah, the VNF doesn't have this dependency on a PNF device because it's not on a purpose-specific piece of hardware.
And to represent
it certainly has requirements for certain types of compute, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
So it's a different set of requirements. It's the requirements that we're all kind of familiar with maybe I should include that here, which is, you know, what makes a VNF a VNF is requirements for, you know, general purpose compute functionality. Which so tends to be a requirement, however, of the network function component. So the network function component in the world of the VNF is really your software, right, that runs on
that's used to support the VNF, yeah.
Yes, right.
And the service you're creating, like a 5G service or whatever, is the ONAP node.service.
That would consume it, right? That's your consuming service, yep.
Yeah, coming back to the question, in reality, what I'm still trying to elaborate is if the life cycle operations of a VNF or PNF and the allotted service are the same or are different.
I think we have to work those details. I think are certain life cycle operations that are common for network functions, because if you're thinking of life cycle like, you know, instantiate and, you know, things like that, I'm not sure what a heel would mean in a physical network function world, but that could be my ignorance speaking. But certainly they both get instantiated as software, right? Because even in your plug and play thing, you're instantiating sort of this network function as an abstraction that is now the stuff that's going to provide capabilities up to your service. It's the thing that has to become active in order to start, you know, routing calls or whatever.
Yeah, this is true. That what I don't know if it is the commonality is only relative to what are the services that a network function is providing to the upper layer, or in reality is also common the life cycle itself of the network function in all its flavor. So,
yeah. I think we can find, you know, a good couple of discussions around it, I think, could sort through the commonalities. And then, you know, from an approach perspective, because I'm really a developer at heart, you know, at the software level, you're basically saying, okay, if I'm trying to represent a life cycle in Tosca, right, maybe there's a life cycle around the network function. And maybe when I, you know, because each one of these nodes, when you get into an actual data model and a use of it, you know, I as a provider, you know, the internally to the model, when something is onboarded, whatever it is, it needs to become sort of a subclass of network function. And when you get to that, there could be a life cycle that is, you know, a derived one for VNFs or a derived one for PNFs that might have the things that are specific that
I think that's
include what's common for network function.
I think it's more complex than it needs to be. So you have all of it in here. It's just I think Mikkel is kind of pointing to there's three aspects to lifecycle management. Right? So the first is you're deploying something, you're figuring out what to deploy, which I think this handles. Basically, you know, that aspect of it is handled by the whole plug and play. And when we go through that, you basically deploy the device, and that's represented here with the appropriate function and device that gets created and as it comes on board. The second part is where you're basically managing the thing through its life. So all those functions you need to do for maintenance and upgrades and et cetera, all those operational type functions, which I think, given that this is sort of an O object model, you know, which can have both, you know, like methods and functions as well as data, I think, you know, the Michaela, the PNF device, between the PNF device network function and component, function component, you'll have, I think, functions you can perform, and those will grow over time. I think you could have, for example, I don't know, upgrade as a method or something in one of these, and it would say, I want to perform that function on that thing, right? And the third aspect of lifecycle management is where you're kind of evolving the network, you're decommissioning stuff, and you're you know, you're managing the life of the overall network by growth or shutting down stuff or growing new stuff. And I think that's also able to be managed here as well, because you basically, for example, if you're decommissioning something, you just remove the device that's not needed anymore. So in my mind, this seems like it would work. I think for lifecycle management, and ONAP is just at the kind of at the start of having those sort of discussions. So there's a number of meetings where, I mean, you know, there's a lifecycle management team that meets, and I think it only just had like its first meeting. Like a week or two ago. So they're just talking about some, you know, I think they had like 8 broad topics, right, that they're considering. So
where is configuration getting covered? Like, you know, I want to configure this particular network function to operate in my service in a particular way.
Yeah. So that's one of the topics in the lifecycle management.
That applies to the service as well, not just to the function, right?
Sure. Right.
So
correct. Yeah.
That seems to be a recurring discussion that I've heard over the years, and there's never been a complete answer.
And I think that's a hole in ONAP. Like, I think there's some sort of inventory information that things you just want to know.
Right. And there's a tool that's supposed to be
kept anywhere.
the tool that's supposed to be for service design, right? And so these discussions have to happen in unison. And I'm new here, but it sounds like there's as big of a disconnect here as there is in Etsy and every other SDO that I participate in. So
I think there's definitely a hole here. Like there was.
And you want to talk to Gil Ballard, because he's certainly been thinking about the whole configuration aspect a lot, I believe.
Gil
that
Ballard,
Kevin.
Could you send me his contact info if it's available?
Is that correct, Kevin? Has Gil been thinking through configuration a bunch? Because he certainly seems to talk about it a lot.
You could put it in the chat window. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Sorry, I was on mute. But yes, I think Gil has been thinking about that. We do need to point out that Gil's on vacation for another week or two before he's back.
Right.
Ouch. Okay.
Yeah, but that is, you know, that is one of the things that we want ONAP to address, that we agree with you that, you know, Etsy is short on, and we, you know, it's one of the things that makes,
it's,
you know, ONAP more than Etsy.
It's one of the topics for reducing integration costs. This is where
Agreed.
We should be putting our telescopes, folks. All right. Sorry, I get emotional.
For example,
welcome.
An example is the external EM IP address, you know, and there are many others, but parameters that aren't related to the inventory of something, in other words, just keeping track of this thing exists, and then parameters that aren't necessarily related to, say, configuring something or software download, a particular use case, there's just a body of parameters that something needs that doesn't fit into kind of the current category of stuff that ONAP works with right now. And I for me, that's CM stuff, right? And that hasn't really been thought out exactly or designed yet. Where do we keep that information? So I think that's still something that, you know, CM is a big topic, and I think we need to work out questions like, where do we keep persistent information that isn't, say, inventory information, you know, on a thing.
I'm trying to get Bolt Gil's info and having a little hard time.
Yeah, and if anybody else has that, that'd be great. But also, if you don't mind, if you give me your, I sent you an email text also for your.
Sure.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Here is. Let me see if Gil actually has. All right, he's got it on the wiki.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yep.
All right. So thanks, Chancellor, for sharing, and thanks for us, for all you for the discussion. If there are no more issues, I would like to close the meeting. And the last thing...
Just one more point. I think maybe it would be good to note that the M4 milestone happened last Thursday, and Gildas had been coordinating the inputs from that. And for the use cases, we've been updating the, you know, in that process, we've been updating the appropriate M4 status. Note that some of the, there was an email sent out by Gildas actually last Thursday. And, you know, not, obviously not everybody's on that email, but in there they have, I can actually show it if you want.
Yes, I'm interested to know what the M4 milestone is.
Yeah, let me show it to you, because you know, not everybody got that email, obviously. Let me see. Find it here. Okay. Here. All right. Okay. Let me share my screen. All right, share screen. Okay, so yeah, gotta move this thing here. All right, let's see if I can. This is it here. So, nope. Okay, so in this page, on the what's going on here? Gotta shrink this a little bit here. Okay. So on this page, if you I'll make copy this in the chat so people can have it. Everyone here. Okay. So if you go to this page for R3 like requirements, on the far right side is the M4 status. Basically, what Gildas did was they took all of these things on this page and put it into, you know, like a PowerPoint slide. But here's the source information. So this is the going to the, you know, going to the primary source. So for example, if you look at, you know, the plug and play use case, you know, that this is me. So, you know, there's links to slides, and then I updated the what's going on with it, for example, on M4, right? So the code has been submitted, developed, and then there's things that are on track and a couple of things that are pending. And some things can be postponed and so forth. So for each of the use cases, if you're interested in a particular use case, you can see what the status for that is, right? So the there's a lot of the 5G use cases here, and different people updated different things about them. So you can see what the status was. So the M4 milestone is, let me see if I can find it for you.
Is a code freeze
or
release?
Yeah, it's mainly code freeze, right? So, but let me show you the whole checklist here. Here's the M4 checklist. Let me just cut and paste this in the chat. Okay. So the main thing is, as Michaela just said, the code freeze. But there's basically, you know, Jira stories and list the stories that are in are all the committed sprint backlog stories done. There's release management issues, all the findings from previous milestones addressed, defects of highest activities in Jira, the Garrett project repository, snapshot binaries and integration testing in place, and okay, and you know, and then doc things for the VNF requirements projects and API stuff populated. So I'm also working, for example, some of the docs and requirements stuff, right? So for me, the M4 stuff means I have to have all my requirements in the VNF projects and the docs projects in place. If you're doing development and testing or integration, I mean, there are different things that happen to different teams, but I think one of the main things of M4 is that code is essentially code freeze, right? Okay. So, and then at M4, they want to understand if the code isn't all there, is it on track to be there, or if it can't be there, what has to happen, right? So, any questions on that? Okay, thanks. I just wanted to share that. So,
all right, thanks, Ben. So I think it's time for closing the meeting. And one last thing I want to mention is, as I mentioned last week, I plan to cancel the call next week for the reason of the national holiday in China. Maybe only me is affected, but are there any objections for that? If no, I would also announce that tomorrow. And thank you all for joining. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.